Okay, so we're going to get started now. So this year is, for those who don't know or who haven't been to this year yet, on Thursday nights for a half hour, we just do a survey of whatever is the most interesting halachic shaila that I got that week. Now, I've been saving up over the summer a little bit, so these aren't all necessarily from this week, nor are they necessarily the most interesting. It's just I picked two off the pile today before I went to yeshiva, so I'm going to give you two each week, and then you'll vote. You'll tell me which one you want to speak about, okay? And that's what this year will be on, whichever one you want to speak about. So here are the two shailas that came up. Shaila number one, and almost all of them come in texts because that's my preferred mode of communication. WhatsApp is my preferred mode of communication. So if you ever have an interesting shaila, that is definitely the way to reach me. The worst way to reach me is by trying to call me on the phone. So, but if it's something that needs to be a conversation, you can text me. Can we speak by phone? And you know, then we can arrange a time. But anyway, so both of these were only one of them was a text. The other one, okay, we'll start with the one that was a text. It was a WhatsApp, and it goes as follows: Hi, Rabbi Leibowitz, I have a question for you. That's like every WhatsApp I get can start that way. There is a well-known wig company that is now taking insurance. She put taking insurance in quotes. Apparently, good medical insurance companies will cover $5,000 towards wigs if you can have a doctor say that you have hair loss, either from childbirth, COVID, etc. Is hair loss from COVID a thing? Is that something? Everything from COVID is there. Right, okay. They even said they would get a doctor to write the prescription for you. They claim that this is totally kosher, which it might be, she writes. I didn't say that. She said that. My question is that if that's not the reason that I cover my hair for halacha and not for hair loss reasons, it feels very, very morally questionable to me. Am I wrong? Do you have any thoughts on this? P.S. I didn't even want to ask the question. My husband made me do it. Okay. So, that is, threw him right under the bus. So, that is shaila number one. Shaila number two. I was at a chasana over the summer, and I ran into one of my talmidim, and he told me that he went to visit his in-laws. We're going to try to keep this, some details out of it. But he went to visit his in-laws. They live in a different city from where he lives. So he and his wife went to visit. Now, his in-laws got divorced several years ago. Let's say 5 years ago, his in-laws got divorced. And but they both live in the same city. So he went to visit. And when he shows up to visit, they go visit the mother-in-law's house. And it's like, hi, Mom. What's Dad doing here? Because Dad was there the whole time. And like, what's Dad doing here? Oh, we wanted to surprise you. We got back together. And they're like, oh, that's nice. It's a traumatic thing when the parents get divorced. It was like a nice thing that they got back together. What do you mean? You got back together? You didn't like invite us to the wedding when you got remarried? What do you mean remarried? We've been married for 30 years. No, but you got divorced, right? And yeah, but we've been married for 30 years. We just got back together. And the guy was like, no, but you gave a get, right? And he's like, yeah. So, you need to, get married. You can't just get back together. How long ago have you, moved in? He's like, I've been living here for a couple of weeks already. Same bedroom, married people, and it happened. I left out a detail. This visit was during the 3 weeks. So the Talmud's like, we got to be Mesader Chuppah V'Kiddushin right now. The only thing is, are you allowed to be Mesader Chuppah V'Kiddushin right now during 3 weeks? That's Aleph. Also, is there anything he needs to know if he's going to be Mesader Chuppah V'Kiddushin? He's going to make a wedding right here on the spot. Is this something that should be done? Should it not be done? Is this a good idea, a bad idea? What should his role be exactly? And the truth is, what the real shaila is that he didn't think of to ask. Sometimes a person asks a shaila. He was telling it to me because I saw him at a chasana. He's like, craziest thing happened to me this summer. It was a story. But there's a real shaila over here. The shaila is, you're going to do a chuppah. Should you say a bracha on the kiddushin? Why not? Why not say a bracha on the kiddushin? Why do we say a bracha on the kiddushin?
Because the corner they sell, they're already remarried.
Oh, they're already remarried. Why do you say according to Beis Hillel? That a couple gets divorced and they sleep together in the same hotel room in the same room. So the halacha is that she needs another get, right? Because if she wants to get married to somebody else, she's going to need another get. So maybe they're actually married. So maybe they didn't get married, but maybe they are married just because by virtue of the fact that they're living together again. So that is shaila number two. So again, shaila number one: can you scam the insurance company to get? I shouldn't give away the answer. can you claim hair loss if your wife needs a new shaitel to get $5,000 from the insurance company? And shaila number two: what should this Talmud do about his divorced, now somewhat maybe remarried in-laws? All those who prefer online voting has already begun. Online voting goes out of regular voting. Okay, so online voting has already begun. So all those, by show of hands, we don't do voices because sometimes the person has a booming voice and it just, so it skews the results. So by show of hands, all those who want to discuss shaila number one, all those who want to discuss shaila number two, okay, looks like shaila number two wins. Did you vote for shaila number one because you, I'm just curious. All right, you're more curious about it. Okay, anyway, all right, so shaila number two. Okay, so here we go. So there are, I think it's the first thing to get out of the way is, can they get married during 3 weeks? Meaning, is it possible to even do a chuppah during 3 weeks? That's an easy one. That's an easy question, because it's actually in the Mishnah Berurah that it's mutter to be machzir krushaso during 3 weeks. You're not supposed to do things that involve excessive simcha during 3 weeks, so you're not allowed to make a wedding generally during 3 weeks. There's a question whether you're allowed to on the night of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, meaning the night before the fast of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. That's a question of halacha, it's machlokas between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik, whether you are or are not allowed to do that. But that's, you know, that's an easy one when it comes to Machzor Grushaso, because as far as Machzor Grushaso is concerned, when you're remarrying your own wife, it's assumed to be a little bit less of a simcha, and therefore it's pashut that you're allowed to do that. Okay, so they could make a wedding right now. But the question then becomes, what is the Torah Hashkafa about being Machzir Grushaso? Is this like a good idea or is it a bad idea? Yeah? So it is an Isser if she was with someone else. Question is it a mitzvah if she wasn't with someone else? Now, if the mother-in-law had been with somebody else after the divorce, then it would be an Isser to Oraisa for him to remarry her. But that was not the case. She was alone. She was single for however many years it was that she was divorced. So the question is this a good idea or a bad idea? Is it actually a mitzvah or is it not a mitzvah? And maybe in order to understand that, it would be helpful to understand what exactly is the Isser if she got married to somebody else, right? Meaning, what exactly is the Isser of Machzor Grushaso? Now, if the guy was a Kohen, then even if she didn't get married to someone else, because just like, you know, a Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha in general, the Kohen's not allowed to marry his own Grusha. I'll tell you, my brother is a Mesader Gittin. My brother happens to write Gittin. It's one of his many areas of expertise. He's a Rav in Northern California, so he gets to do like a lot of stuff, because like everything sort of falls on your shoulders, you know, in smaller communities. So, you know, he built the Erev and the Mikvah, and, you know, and is a Mayal, and does the Gittin. He's not a Sheikh. That he didn't do. They still get meat from Los Angeles, but you know, he does all these things. So when I told him this shaila, he's like, bad idea. He's like, I don't know if halachically one way or the other, I can tell you it's a bad idea. He said, they're not going to stay married. I said, that's the prophet of doom. He's like, no, that's good news for me. It's more business. But you know, he said, Mesader Gittins, you know, are very happy when this something like this happens, but it makes no one else happy. He said, usually couples get divorced for a reason. And when their reason for getting remarried is that they're lonely, usually that's not enough. Meaning, if nothing fundamentally has changed, okay, but I didn't ask him to play pop psychologist, you know, like, what's the Torah perspective on being Machzor Grushaso? So it's so fascinating that in the Torah, the Parsha in the Torah about Get, that the entirety of Maseches Gittin is based on, is really the Parsha of Machzor Grushaso. It's just the only way to explain what it, you know, that there's an Isser to remarry your Grusha after she married someone else, is to say that you're married to a woman and you get divorced from a woman. So all of Gittin and Kiddushin is based on these psukim, that really the driving point of all the psukim is just to get to the point of Machzor Grushaso. What does it say? Ki yikach ish isho ubala. Oh, that's Kiddushin. A couple gets married. Vayim lo simsochein ve'enov ki matzah ba'er vas davar. That's the at the very end of Gittin, what it takes what's a good enough reason to get divorced, right? People have noted that Gittin was written backwards, because you would think that would be the first thing in Maseches Gittin to discuss, is like, when should you get divorced? And that comes at the very, very end of Maseches Gittin. So the pasuk describes, because you find Ervas Davar, V'kasav la sefer krisos v'nasan b'yada v'shilchem ibeso. That's Gittin. That's all Maseches Gittin right there. You write a sefer krisos and you send her away. V'yasim beso v'halchavayso l'shacher. And she went and she married somebody else. And v'sneo isha achron v'kasav la sefer krisos v'nasan b'yada. And the other guy divorces her also v'shilchem ibeso. Oki yamas isha achron. Or the other guy dies. Asha l'kach lo l'isha. The other guy that married her. Lo yuchal bala arishon sheshilcha loshav l'kach lo l'yoso l'isha achre asher utama. Ki to'eva he lifnei Hashem. This is a to'eva. For whatever reason, there are several things that the Torah calls a to'eva. Remarrying a grusha after she's been with somebody else is one of those things that the Torah calls a to'eva. Like also, most famously, dishonest weights and measures, right? I know that's what you're all thinking. So that's what the Torah also calls a to'eva. So this is a terrible thing. It's lifnei Hashem, and it's bad for Israel. Okay, good. That's the parsha of Machzor Grushaso. So it's so interesting. The entire focus of the parsha is about Machzor Grushaso, and that's the parsha of all of Gittin Kiddushin. What makes it doubly fascinating is that if you want to learn the sugya of Machzor Grushaso, what masecht would you expect to find the sugya of Machzor Grushaso in? Gittin, right? It's a din in Gittin, so you'd expect to find it in Maseches Gittin. Barely a mention in Maseches Gittin. The primary sugyas are in Yevamos, in Kiddushin. Barely a mention in Maseches Gittin. Like, shocking. What's going on? How does it not get mentioned in Maseches Gittin? So we know that Divrei Torah are aniyim b'makom echad and ashirim b'makom acher. Sometimes you have Divrei, in order to learn, Rav Shachter always points this out, if you want to be the biggest posek in Gittin, and you study all of Maseches Gittin backwards and forwards with all, bi'iyun, you're still not going to be the biggest posek in Gittin if you didn't learn the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula also. Meaning sometimes you have people that have an expertise in one area, and they spend an inordinate amount of time on like one very narrow topic. And those svarim that people produce are very valuable because they're like encyclopedic works on like very narrow topics. For example, the example I always like to give, because he's a friend of mine, Rabbi Ari Wasserman, the dean's brother, wrote a 2-volume, big, fat, like this volume set on yarmulkes, right? Otzar HaKippah. On yarmulkes. So everything that was ever written about a yarmulke, Rabbi Wasserman discussed. Now, if I had a shayla about a yarmulke, Rabbi Wasserman is a fine Talmud Chacham, I could ask him the shayla, but who would be a more, which posek would you go to, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein or Rabbi Wasserman? Now, you would still go to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Why? Rabbi Moshe doesn't know all of the things that Rabbi Wasserman recorded in that sefer. In general, to be a major posek, yediyah of Kol HaTorah Kula is very valuable in terms of having a sense of the psak. So that works with a lot of these svarim. Rav Asher Weiss told us that he uses these svarim a lot of times. But when it comes to shaila, would you go to the author of those svarim, or would you go to Rav Asher Weiss? And the answer should be that, for the psak halacha, you'd go to Rav Asher Weiss, someone who has a sense of how all of Torah works, how all of halacha works. So, and it just happens to be that there are dinim and get that don't really appear all that much in Maseches Gittin that you need to know other areas of the Torah. So it's just an interesting thing. Now, what's the reason for the Yisr of Machzor Grushaso? So it's interesting because the Navi tells us the reason for the Yisr, Al Derech Mashal. The Navi Yirmiyahu describes Klal Yisrael and what it's like if Klal Yisrael goes and does Avodah Zarah and then comes crawling back to the Ribono Shel Olam and expects the Ribono Shel Olam to take him back. So the Navi writes, Leimor Hein Yishalach Ish Es Ishto, V'holcha Meito V'hoysa Li'ish Acher, Hayashuv Eileha Od, Hello, Chanov Techna Fa'aretzahi, Va'atzan Yisrael Rabim, V'shuv Elai, Nuom Hashem. Hashem says, you went and you went to other gods and whatever, and now you're coming back to me? And what does Gemara compare that to? What does the Navi compare that to? To a Machzor Grushaso. So it sounds like Machzor Grushaso, after she marries someone else, it's almost like viewed as a znus. It's not really znus because she was allowed to be with somebody else, but it's almost like part, an extension of the Isra of a woman being Mizana. And the Sefer HaChinuch seems to say that way. The Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Tov Kuf Pei, writes that we Shorshe a Mitzvah, Sefer HaChinuch always gives reasons for the Mitzvah, Kidei Laharchi Kol Inyan Hazima V'Kol Adomalo. That it's like there was a marriage and there was a break, and then if the marriage is going to continue, that means that sandwiched in this marriage is being with another man, which is similar to an issue of zima, an issue of znos. That is one approach to Machzor Grushaso. I came across an article that I found online where someone wanted a taina that the Rambam holds differently. Why? Because if this is true, where does the halacha Machzor Grushaso belong in the Sefer Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam? In Hilchos what? Yisurei Bia, right? If it's about Yivamas and it's about like an issue of Znos, it belongs to Yisurei Bia. Where does the Rambam put it? In Hilchos Gerishin. Parakid Al, halacha Yudbeis through Tazvav, the Rambam puts it in Hilchos Gerishin, which makes it sound like it's a din in the lack of sofiyut, of finality in the get. That you're giving a get, the kasvah sefer krisus tovar kores beinola veino, and if she's going to go and marry somebody else, then come back. So it's ki'ilu, like the get was never really all that serious the first time, and she ended up with somebody else in between. So it's like a lack of consistently recognizing the get as being the end game. That's how they want a taina is Shitas Rambam. I have heard from Mori Varabi, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita on several occasions that is not a diuk. That not particularly on that diuk, but to make a diuk on where the Rambam puts it in the Mishnah Torah is as far as the geder of the Isser is not a diuk. I mean, you cannot determine the geder of an Isser based on placement of Mishnah Torah. Because very often the Rambam, when he puts something in Mishnah Torah, will put it in that spot because that's where it happens to come up. Meaning, where does Machzor Grushaso come up? After you have a Grusha. How do you have a Grusha? You get divorced. So since it comes up in the context of getting divorced, that's where the Rambam will put it. But not necessarily because the Gedar Isser, the nature of Isser, is that it's a din in Gerishin versus a din in Isser Ibiya. He very often will place things in the Mishnah Torah based on how it actually happens. The Rambam, you have to understand, he wrote the Mishnah Torah as a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It was supposed to be a halacha sefer. It was like a how-to for life. And so it makes sense to write it in a way where, okay, if I want to know like what to do when I wake up in the morning, so I read over here, and I want to know what to do when I say Kriya Shema, so I read over here, even though the gedder of some of these mitzvahs may be, or some of these inyanim may be a little bit different. Is it a mitzvah to be Machzor Grushaso? Meaning, okay, now we know what the Isser is, but let's say she's not a surah to you, let's say she did not get married to somebody else. Is there a mitzvah? So it doesn't... it doesn't say clearly in the Torah that it is a mitzvah. Sefer HaChinuch and Siman Tav Kuf Pei writes that there's an issur to be Machzor Grushaso, and he says if she married someone else, but De'ilu Kodem Shetinase Mutur Lachzira, if she didn't marry someone else, you're allowed to remarry her. V'gam Ro'oi Lasos Kein Imeina Rasha'a. If she's not a Rasha, then it's ro'oi lasos kein. Stop short of saying mitzvah, but he says ro'oi lasos kein. The Yerushalmi tells us something somewhat surprising. The Yerushalmi says, just like a person is chas al kavod al manaso, he's worried about, if he dies, that the kavod that his almana is going to have, he has to be chas al kavod grushaso. He has to be careful about the kavod of his grusha. People very often fail spectacularly at that imperative of being chas al kavod grushaso. They have to be careful about the kavod of his grusha. Why, says Yerushalmi? Mi besar chal tesalim, lo tesalim. Torah says you have to be extra cautious about being kind to those who are related to you. That's why when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, that it's karav kodem, you give to family members who need before you give to others who need, you give to your own yeshiva before you give to every other yeshiva. You know, when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, ani ircha kodmin, the aniyim of your own city come first. Rav Shachter points out, ani ircha doesn't necessarily, it's not always geographical, right? Ani ircha might mean people that you're more connected with. So if let's take giving to mostos, giving to yeshiva. So let's say you learned in a yeshiva in Washington Heights. So let's say the yeshiva will be proud of me, I'll say this. You learned in a yeshiva in Washington Heights, and now you live in, you know, in Kansas. So there's, let's not say Kansas. Now you live in Los Angeles, and there are five yeshivas in Los Angeles. And, you know, that's, it's ircha But you know, several of those yeshivas, you have no shaykhs. You don't send your kids there. You've never even been inside the building. You have no shaykhs to the yeshiva. So what's aniyah ircha? What's the yeshiva's ircha? So Rav Shachter points out, it's Washington Heights, right? Because that's where you actually learn. That's the thing that's closer to your heart. But anyway, b'sor chalot tisalim. So says Yerushalmi, that includes even grusha. Does that mean that you're supposed to marry her? Stop short of saying that. It doesn't exactly say that you're supposed to marry her. But there are a number of tshuvas in the early Acharonim and late Rishonim that seem to suggest that yes, it is a mitzvah to be machzik grusha. So there's a tshuvas Tashbetz in Chel Gimel Siman Tes where he says he's describing a different shaila, but he mentions almost matter of factly that it's a mitzvah lahachzir grusha. So you have a tshuvas Radvaz that says the opposite though. Tshuvas Radvaz in Or Chaim Sim Kufnun Gimel, the Tshuvas Radvaz writes, Aval Machzir Grushaso Eini Roe Bo Shum Mitzvah Depuk Chazi Kama Nashi Ika. I don't know why you'd have to pick this woman of all the women in the world, right? Why do you have to pick the woman that you used to be married to that it didn't work out? Yeah, every other woman in the world, it might work out with, it might not work out with. This woman, you know it didn't work out with. So why would you... Look how many other available bachelorettes there are. Why would you pick this woman? So there is a Hagos Rash Vital on the Tshuvas Radvaz, where he says... I know I shouldn't be arguing with the Radvaz. And everyone loves his Torah, the Alfio Rice and Lipume, and we learn from his mouth. There's, you know, he's about to build up to a big, you know, I really disagree with him, you know, because no one's that complimentary. So, Mishum Hachi Mistafina Lemeimar, I'm afraid to say. That's a little much, no? There's no mitzvah greater than that? I can think of a few. You know, like ones that it says in the Torah. But that's a little surprising. Especially if it's your first wife. Oh, im yesh lo bana mimena, or if you have children with her, so you know what a chizik it is to the children that the parents will be married. Oh, im hikrovaso, or if she happens to be related to you anyway, she's your first cousin or your niece. That used to be like a very common thing that people would marry their first cousin or their niece. That's why especially in Ashkenazi places, that was always done. That's why Ashkenazi Jews have all these fabulous genetic diseases that that come when people with the same genes marry each other. So you know so he says something like that. Then for sure you should do it. So there is a lot of suggestion. In fact, Rashmol Rozovsky famously remarried his wife. His first wife, he got divorced. When they wrote the biography of Shmuel Rozovsky, they have to be careful, because how do you write about a divorce of a gadol? You know, you have to be sensitive. How do you not write about it, though? Because, like, who's the Rebbetzin? This was the Rebbetzin, then that was the Rebbetzin, then that was the Rebbetzin again? Like, because for a man, he can marry someone else in between and be married, because he can marry two women at the same time, technically, right? So, obviously, not anymore, but in Shmuel's case, in Shmuel Rozovsky's case, it was after his second Rebbetzin died, and he was old and sick, and the first Rebbetzin was such a tzaddikas, she married him just to take care of him, just to help him out in his old age. Because she knew he was a special person. It just didn't work out. Their marriage didn't work out, but it didn't mean that he wasn't a chash of a person, and she thought it would be the chus of a lifetime to take care of him in his old age. Wow, that's something. You don't hear that very often. They don't write about it so much because, like, the whole thing is lo na'im to talk about, but they should, because that's like an inspiring. Anyway, let's go back to our shaila now. The real shaila we had was not whether machzik grushas is a good thing. They're getting remarried. The real shaila is, are they already married? Because there is a Mishnah in Maseches Gittin, where the Mishnah tells us that Hamagarish Zishtav Lani Mabapuntaki, if a man divorces his wife and then they sleep in the same place together again, if they want to be divorced, they need another get. They need another get. This is something that comes up more often than you would think. You would think, once they get divorced, what are they sleeping in the same? It comes up more often than you would think. You know, the guy lived in the house for all those years, so he'll call up his ex-wife and he'll say, my roommate is having guests over tonight, I just need a quiet place to sleep, and whatever, can you do me a favor, you know, let me come back to the house, the kids are there anyway, they're my kids, whatever, I still pay the mortgage, you know, like, these things happen more often than you would think. We even had one case, which was mamish crazy, where a guy, a couple got divorced, the woman was about to get remarried. The rabbi, who was Masari Kiddushin, who's going to be Masari Kiddushin, got a phone call from the ex-husband saying she's not allowed to get married. And he said, what do you mean she's not allowed to get married? I moved in with her again for a week after we were divorced. She needs a get from me before she can get remarried. What are you talking about? Why would you do that? He said, well, I wasn't happy with the first divorce settlement. I learned in yeshiva, so I know the Mishnah and Maksu Gishasa, that if you Magar Shishav Lami Mabapuntaki. So I convinced her to let me in the house. She let me stay there for a week. And now I'm not going to give her a get until I get whatever demands I have. Right, what a tzaddik, right? That's quite a story. I mean, it's not a story. It's a Maisa Shahaya. I went to visit Rav Asher Weiss with some of the Smicha fellows last year, and he was finishing writing the tshuva on this topic. I went together with Rabbi Shai Shachter, and Rav Asher said, come sit down. I sat down on one side, Rav Shai sat on the other side. He said, let's go through this tshuva. Let's see if it reads straight, if I made any mistakes. This is like a very serious matter. He was in that, whatever, we're leaving out a lot of details. In that case, he was Matir. He came up with four Tzadim Laheter, and then he got Rav Yitzchak Yosef to sign on it, and he got Rav Hershel Shachter to sign on it. So he had three Gedolei Torah that all signed on the Heter. So I asked Rav Shachter, what did you think of that? So he said, I thought any one of those Heterim would have been enough. He didn't even need all four, and he had all four Heterim. But anyway, what about in our case, right? What's this idea? Why do you need a new get just because they moved in together? So the assumption is that there's a chazaka, that ein adamosa bi'ilas bi'ilas nus, that if a couple's having bia, why would he have kavana for his nus? He'll have kavana instead for kiddushin. Why would he make his bia's nus if he could be kiddushi bia? And heinene de yichud heinene de bia. So it's as if we have edim to the bia, and it's a bia's kiddushin. So now they're married, right? That's the assumption. Question is, do we still apply the chazaka of ein adamosa bilaso bilasnus in most cases nowadays? Right. Let's say you have a couple that is not observant. Bichlal, they've lived together for 3 years before they got married. Right. So do you assume that they're already married? Would you say a bracha under that chuppah if you're asked to be Masari Kedushin? So that comes up all the time, right? Rabbanim are asked to be Masari Kedushin for a couple that's not from. They've been living together for years already. So, okay, the rabbi will get her to go to the mikveh and try to get them to separate. Right? Okay, whatever they, for some time beforehand. But are they already married? Can you say a bracha the chuppah? So we generally assume that they are not married in that case, because the Rivash Paskins, that if a couple has not observed the halachas of Taras HaMishpacha, then we cannot apply the principle of Ein Adamosa Bilasa Bilasnas. Because what do you mean? Every single time he sleeps with her, she's a Nida, so it's Nisar Kares. So of course he makes Bilasa Bilasnas. Oh, you're going to tell me he has qualms about sleeping with a Pnuya, which unclear exactly what the Isser is, but he has no problem sleeping with a Nida, which is Nisar Kares? Can't be. So you can't say about such a person that there's a chazaka that he doesn't want it to be a bilas nos. So that's and that Chuvus Rivash is accepted. Shulchan Aruch Nebnezer Kuf Mem Tes Sivav writes that if you have an Ishvi Isha that were Himiru Ba'ones Hagzeros, they were Gzeros against Jewish people, and they gave up the religion and they married each other B'chukos Hakutim, even though they're Mesiachid Ze B'chol Yom, they got secularly married, they're alone together every day and everyone knows that they're alone together, Ein choshel mishum kiddushin. You don't have to worry about kiddushin. Yeah, but what about our case? What about our case? This is a couple that is basically observant. They keep a kosher home. They belong to a synagogue, right? They're basically observant. It could be the guy sitting next to you in shul answering Yeshmei Rabu B'kol Kocho, right? They're basically observant. So you're going to say that, and mistama, I don't know how old the woman is. Let's say she's either postmenopause, or so it's not an issue of Nida, or she would be doing Taras HaMishpacha. She would go to the, for whatever reason, they were under the impression that because they were married for so many years, they don't need to be married again. So you're going to say, Ein Adamosa, they don't need to get married again. Like they could just sort of be married. So you're going to say, Ein Adamosa, Bilas, Bilas. You're going to say that they have no problems with the Bilas Nus? They do have problems with the Bilas Nus. They wouldn't do a Bilas Nus. So in that case, they might actually be married. This might be a classic case of regards to of Lani Mabuntiki. So I was at a chasna, and I was sitting next to Rabbi Olbaum from Queens, who's a Gon Adir, a huge Tamil Chacham. You guys know who Rabbi Olbaum is? So one of the big, big Talmid Chachamim in this country. So he's a Hasidish Rav. He's a Rav in Kiryat Hills. So I was like, Rabbi Oldham's here, you know, I'm asking some Shailas. So I asked that one. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know what to do about that one. So I asked both Rav Shechter and Rav Asher Weiss, and they both said they should right away get 10 people together, do a Chuppah V'Kiddushin, no bracha. No bracha. You have to assume that it could be that they are, in fact, already married. So yes, Chuppah V'Kiddushin, but no bracha. And I think that's what he should have done. It's not what he actually did. He actually did a regular Chuppah V'Kiddushin with a bracha because he didn't know to ask. In general, just, you know, you should just always know when someone asks you one day to be Mesarik Kiddushin, don't, you know, be like, oh, I once learned Kiddushin, so I could be Mesarik. Like, it should really be run through someone who has some amount of experience and can spot whatever issues might come up. It's really a halacha mefresh, it's like that. Anyone who's not a baki b'tiv gittin v'kiddushin, you know, esek imayim shouldn't be involved in such things. We're much more concerned about gittin as far as that's concerned, but we're somewhat concerned about kiddushin also, as far as that's concerned. Okay, so that's it for this week. Bezer Hashem, I'll see everybody again next week, or some of you again next week. Have a great Shabbos, everybody.
Good Shabbos.